You know, I'm always trying to encourage the young preachers, trying to be there to stir them, provoke them along. And I said something to Daniel about preaching one of these Sunday nights. And he says, okay, Pastor. I says, work on a message. Well, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. He came to me and he said, Pastor, I've got a message. And so I wanted to hear that message. And so Brother Daniel is going to come and preach for us this evening. Brother Daniel.
I brought my own water. That one was too hot. Well, I'm excited that we voted Brother Wayne in, and it is a good thing to have a someone to go to. And I'm very appreciative of our pastor's concern for and love for our church. Although he's leaving, he still wants the best for our church. And I know that for a fact. This morning, our pastor preached a message on a revival, and we do need revival. I've never experienced revival as a nation or some of the things that he mentioned earlier this morning, but it is greatly needed in our nation, and it does start with the people of God. It's funny, before I came up here, my wife was giving me instructions on what not to do. Don't pull up your pants. Don't stand behind the pulpit. Walk around the stage. I said, I can't stand behind the pulpit. She said, we can't see you. So she had a valid reason. And I said, plus the pulpit's the same color as me as well. So I'm camouflaged. I like that you guys find that funny. But it does start with the people of God revival. And it starts with the Word of God as well. I believe that the Word of God plays a big part in that. And the message tonight is going to be off of a passage that you're very familiar with. It's not a passage that you probably have never heard. I'm sure you have it. I know I have. And so we're going to be looking at, if you can be turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. And it says there, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall turn unto fables, or shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you so much for your amazing love. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us to serve you. Lord, I do pray that this evening, Heavenly Father, that we can be edified, encouraged by your word. I pray, Lord, that your name be magnified and glorified. Lord, it's humbling to preach your word. But Lord, you know the work that's been put in, and Lord, so we just pray that you lead and guide. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When you see me drink water, it's because I'm a little nervous. But that's okay, it'll pass. So it is believed that Paul wrote this letter during his final imprisonment. It is believed that there was two. Paul, the first imprisonment, he was awaiting trial. He was more like on house arrest. And Paul would eventually, many believe, be released from that imprisonment. But he would be arrested again. This time, it would be for him to be executed. Paul was going to be executed this second time for his faith. And Paul is awaiting trial or execution. And it is pretty clear by the letter that Paul was not really expecting to get out of this one. He was expecting that his time on this earth was coming to an end. If you can read with me, look at verses number 6 through 8 there in chapter 4. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So it sounds like words of a man that is preparing for what's coming, right? He's preparing for that execution that's awaiting him. And so Paul is really reaching out to his young disciple. But the purpose of the letter, as you know, the first letter, 1 Timothy, dealt with the church of God. It was instruction on the church of God. And this letter deals with the man of God and the way he is to conduct himself, not only in the church, but in this world that we live in. And so Paul is instructing Timothy. He's warning Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy in this letter. Paul displays his love and his care for Timothy and his desire to see young Timothy soon. But it is also a letter reminding Timothy of Paul's approval and his confidence in his young disciple who was called to preach the word. He was called to be a pastor. And so if you look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. Paul says, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of the hands." And so Paul is reminding Timothy. He's reminding him of that approval and that confidence that he has in Timothy. And he displayed that confidence by the putting on of his hands. That putting on of the hands was a symbolic imparting of a blessing and identification with Timothy's ministry. So Paul recognizes that Timothy is gifted, that Timothy has that gift, that one day he's going to preach the word of God. And Paul recognizes that. And isn't it encouraging when those that have gone before you look back and say, "Hey, I see something in you." As Pastor mentioned, stirring up that gift. Because it is a gift and you do have to stir it up. It's your responsibility. But Timothy had a gift. But it wasn't only Paul that recognized the gift. It was also the church that Timothy was from. And so if you can go with me to Acts chapter 16, remember that during Paul's first missionary journey, Paul would go down to these parts of Galatia, Asia Minor. And Paul would preach the gospel, him and Barnabas, the first missionary journey. And on that journey, Paul would preach the gospel there in Lystra and Derbe, where Timothy is from. And this young Timothy would be well known. He would be someone that others saw something special, something in him. And so Acts chapter 16, verse number 2, it says there. Or let's pick up on number 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. So you see that Timothy was someone that was well known of the brethren. He was well reported of. He had a good reputation for the faith, and Paul took a liking to this young man, and Paul would take Timothy with him, and from that day moving forward, Timothy would become Paul's disciple, Paul's son in the faith. The point that I'm trying to make here is that Timothy was called to preach the word of God. And Paul recognized that. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for our pastor, Pastor Turner. I remember Sunday, he said, the day that we were out there in the gym, Pastor said that he wanted to be remembered for preaching the word of God. And that is how I will remember our pastor, a man that preached the word of God. A pastor has many responsibilities. The responsibility to watch over the flock, and I've seen his concerns and his prayer for you or for us. But I believe the greatest thing that a pastor can do is preach the word of God. And this brings us to our first point of the message. I want you to notice Paul's charge to Timothy. Verses 1, let's pick up there in verse number 1, and it says there, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all long suffering and doctrine. It was a solemn charge there that Paul laid to Timothy. The word charge here is a strong word, and the idea is that of a solemn charge, a serious charge. And the basis for the charge, if you notice, the word therefore. I charge thee, therefore. This word makes a connection to what Paul said previously in chapter 3. The idea is, these things being so. So look with me at verses 15. We're going to start there at chapter 3, verse 15. Now, you can really go all the way to the beginning of the chapter. But I think the emphasis is on the word of God. I think Paul is putting the emphasis on the preaching of the word of God. And it says there, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. I noticed something very important there in those two verses was, number one, that the scriptures make you wise unto salvation. And we know that salvation is in Christ. So then, as we read in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it's also that we can know and understand that the word of God that we hold in our hands is the inspired word of God. It is a God-breathed. And so we know that we can have confidence in knowing that we have the complete word of God because it is inspired by God. And so we can preach out of the word of God with confidence, knowing that thou sayest the Lord. And for these reasons, I believe Paul is bringing this charge before God. He's charging Timothy before God because we hold in our hands the word of God. Amen. And Paul wanted him to know how important. So Paul brings Timothy and charges Timothy before God. He says, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is charging Timothy before the Creator of heaven and earth, before the one that spoke all things into existence, before the one that Paul says, we will be judged. And I believe Paul here is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. He does talk about his appearing there in chapter 4, verse number 8, talking about that day that we would be crowned in his appearing. So because the scriptures are able to give us understanding of our condition and the knowledge of the only way of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, and because it is the inspired word of God, God breathed, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. The word preach here means to herald or to proclaim or to publish the word of God. Paul gave us this example in Acts chapter 20. If you want to go there, Acts chapter 20. And Paul is here. He's on that final trip, right? It's his final trip. He's heading to Jerusalem, where he would eventually be sent to Rome, and he would have that. Be in that shipwreck and all that. But before he goes on that journey, Paul is going to make a stop in Miletus, and he's going to call for the preachers in the church in Ephesus. And he's going to have a meeting with them. And in that meeting, Paul is going to say some very important things to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He says, for I have not shunned, verse 27, Acts chapter 20. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Paul says that the pastors are the elders are overseers. They're there to declare unto the church, the whole counsel of God, speaking of the word of God. He says to them to feed the church of God. Again, I would say that it is a one of the most important things is for the pastors to preach the Word of God. And so Paul makes this charge and he says, preach the Word. The whole counsel of God, feed the church of God. Why is it important, church? Why is it important for us to get fed? I thought of a few things. Number one, we grow by the Word. We grow by the hearing of the Word. The Bible says in 2 Peter, go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And it says there, verses 1 and 2. I think I got that wrong. It's 1 Peter. Thank you, Brother Jeff. 1 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. I believe that God wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to know what we are to do, what He expects from us. And that comes from hearing the Word of God.
Amen. Yep.
Right? We've got to hear the Word of God so that we can grow. We are perfected by the Word of God. Are we not? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We're perfected by the Word of God. This is how we know. Number three, we are protected by the Word of God. Right? Ephesians chapter 6. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul here is encouraging the church in Ephesus. He's saying, hey, put on the whole armor of God. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we learn our armor. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of that, but we learn the armor that we have, our spiritual armor. Right here, Paul, I believe, is looking at one of them Roman soldiers and they're suited up. And Paul starts to illustrate the weapons of our warfare and the weapons and our armor that we have. We're to put it on.
Amen.
So we're protected by the Word of God. We grow by the Word of God. We're perfected by the Word of God. So would you say that we need to hear the Word of God?
Yes, right.
We need to hear the Word of God. It's important that we hear the Word of God. Paul says, preach the Word. When do we preach it? Well, he says, in season and out of season. There's never a time that we don't preach it. Well, I was trying to invent new things and this and that. And I'm not saying them things are bad. But the focus has to be the Word of God. That has to be priority. There's things that we're going to hear that not all of us want to hear. Right? On us dealing with our sin and things like that, and correction and those things there. But we got to hear those things.
Right.
Paul says, reprove. Be instant in season. Preach it whenever, anytime. There's never a time that you're not going to preach it. It doesn't matter if they don't like it. It doesn't matter if they don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter if you only have two people in your church. Preach it. He says, reprove. That where there's to confuse, you know, when you're looking up these words, and it's funny because you look up these words and then you got to look up the word that defines the word. So you're more confused than when you first started. Like, what? But he says, confuse, never heard that word before. Prove wrong, to convict of error. The Lord Jesus Christ uses this word in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 18. If you want to turn there with me, John chapter 16, verse number 8, I'm sorry. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about him leaving and he's going to send the Comforter. And he says there in verse number 16, I mean, chapter 16, verse number 8. I think I got it wrong. I mean, I'm sorry. I said John, right? John chapter 16. I'm in Matthew. Says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the conviction of that the Holy Spirit is going to bring on those believers that to get them right, to get them on the right track. And that's what conviction does. It gets us to that place where God is dealing with our hearts and God wants us to get right. He says, reprove. He says, rebuke. The word there is to censor or admonish. The idea is to warn and to notify as a fault and condemn as wrong. When someone is wrong, he says to notify it, to know them, let them know their fault and correct it or condemn their wrongdoing. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ uses this here in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, if you want to go there with me, Luke chapter 17. And we're going to be looking at verse number 3. And here he's talking about if a brother have a trespass against you. He says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. So he says, to rebuke your brother, right? Let your brother know, hey, you're wrong here. Right? Whatever the offense is, get it corrected. Let him know, hey, you're wrong here. Let's get this right. The Lord Jesus Christ says that it's okay for us to rebuke our brother. But Paul is telling Timothy, hey, reprove, rebuke. Those are words we don't like to hear. Right? Because when we're in church, we want to hear how good we are, not how bad we are. Right? But we need to hear both. We need to hear how good we are, if it happens, and how bad we are at the same time. They're both important. Because Paul says, exhort. He says, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The word exhort means to call near. The idea is to pull someone to the side and to beg or plead with them. Paul reminded him of his example that he set for Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. If we're going to exhort, it must be done with love and care. Long-suffering, patience. We always want to exhort or encourage. But it's important that we do it with love and care. Love and care for one another, right? Amen. But this doesn't mean that you compromise the truth. That you compromise the instruction. Do it with love and care, doctrine, instruction. Paul says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But then we see the warning to Timothy from Paul. And this is where it's our responsibility as the church to listen and to say, preach the word, Pastor. Preach the word. Because there's going to come a time where they will not tolerate sound teachings of the Bible. I believe that we're already there. Paul says, for the time will come, verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul is talking about those solid teachings of instruction that's given to us through the Word of God. Paul is saying that one day they're not going to tolerate this. That word endure means to hold oneself up to or against. To put up with. Right? We hear something and we don't like it, and so therefore, this is not the church for me. I'm going somewhere else. Right? We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Not today. So there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. Those instructions that the Bible teaches. And they will go seeking those that will say those things that are pleasing to them, those things that they want to hear, not the truth. He says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We see those. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'll every now, well, not anymore, it's really annoying, but I used to put on the TV evangelist, so-called. And they would just say so many great things. I was like, wow, no wonder everybody's there. Those are nice things they're saying. And so, you that's why they're full. They're saying what the people want to hear. Has nothing to do with the Word of God. And so they're going to seek those that will please them. And are we in those days? Yes. I mean, 45,000 people, I think they say, at the Joel Osteen Church. 45,000 people. Is that the Dallas Cowboys Stadium there? And they're not even that good. But they will not tolerate sound doctrine. They will seek those that are pleasing to them. And the sad thing is that they will abandon the truth. Paul says in verse number 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Lies will be accepted. Having refused the truth, they are going to fall victim to fairy tales. Because that's what that word fables means. Fairy tales, fiction. It's important that we seek the truth. And when we're confronted with the truth, to accept the truth. not to refuse it. Because that only leads us further away from God. But we also see Paul's challenge for Timothy. He says to him to watch, to be watchful. But thou watch thou in all things. Paul tells Timothy to be sober, to abstain from wine. That's the meaning of that word watch. To be watchful. An excellent example of this would be, again, in the book of Acts, Paul there before the church, before those elders in Miletus, speaking to those elders and giving them, encouraging them and laying down a foundation for them as they lead the church of God. Paul says there in Acts chapter 20, and we're going to pick up in verse 28. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away his disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, everyone night and day with tears. So you see the responsibility, another responsibility of the pastor is to watch.
Yes.
To watch out for those that are causing a division amongst the flock. He says, when I leave, he says, they will come, they will enter in. He says, and they will be among you. He says, watch. He also encourages Timothy to be brave. He says, but watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. That phrase endure affliction is to undergo a hardship, to suffer. In other words, he's telling Timothy, hey, it's going to be rough. Prepare. It's not going to be easy, Timothy. But Paul, he left behind an example for Timothy to follow. Look with me on 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to pick up there in verse number 8. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul's suffering. Paul's in the position that he is in because of his faith. Paul's about to be executed because of his faith. But Paul is enduring. And he says, endure afflictions, but Paul also laid that example for him as well. And isn't it encouraging when you're told to do something that you see the one that's telling you to do it as well? It's important. And Paul did that for his young disciple or young preacher up and coming, right? So he tells them to watch, to be brave. But he also says, be a preacher of the gospel. To do the work of an evangelist. The word evangelist means to preach the gospel. A preacher of the gospel. He says, hey, preach the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It's not about the preacher. It's about the Savior. It's about our King, about our Lord. All the glory, all the praise is for Him. Has nothing to do with me or with any one of us, with Pastor. It's Him. He says, be faithful to the ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. The work of the ministry is a lifelong ministry. Paul said, I ran my race. And now he's looking back and he looks at Timothy and he says, hey, Timothy, I'm encouraging you. I have the privilege to be in the pulpit committee. And as our pastor is leaving, we're seeking that new man, that one that's going to get behind this pulpit. And our desire is that God will send a man that is a preacher of the Word of God. Amen. That's our desire. That's what we're looking for. Amen. That he is known for preaching the Word of God. Amen. That he's a faithful man. And church, it'll do us good to continue to pray for that man. Continue to pray for our pastor and Miss Marcia as they move on. And the example they set for us. To every man that is called. And I know there's some in this room that have kept the faith. And there's men in this room that are being called even today to preach the Word of God. The preacher is called to preach the Word of God. He is to preach it in season and out of season. When it's received and when it's not received. When it's good and when it's not good. He's to preach it with conviction, rebuke. He is to exhort with love and compassion. Not compromising the truth. And it is our responsibility to accept it. To say, preach the word. It's encouraging when we stand behind our pastor and we say, hey, pastor, preach the word. We need to hear it. Remember that the saints are perfected and protected and growth comes from the word of God. I mean, what good would it do if we had a parade back here and all this other junk that goes on in these, whatever they're called nowadays, and a lost person comes in and they don't even get the gospel. They got to hear the word. And where are you with this church? How do you feel about the preaching of the word? Is that your desire? I want to hear the word. God, what do you have for me today? God, search my heart. God, is there things in my life that I have to get rid of? Is there things in my life that are hindering me from being used by you for your glory? Lord, if there is, I want to hear it. Speak to my heart. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, you may know this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to hear the word of God. In church, be in prayer for that man that's going to take this pulpit. That he be a preacher of the word of God. Pastor?
And church. Standing behind a holy desk like this is a tremendous responsibility. And I imagine this old pulpit, I don't know how many decades it sat here on the platform of Metropolitan Baptist Church with hundreds upon hundreds of gospel messages being preached from this holy desk. And again, as Daniel's emphasized this evening, it's a tremendous responsibility, tremendous privilege and honor for a man to be recognized in that capacity, but also an accountability. Because as the preacher may stand before you, he's also standing before the watchful eye of God. And this is not a place for entertainment. This is not a place for trying to appeal to the flesh. This is a place where the word of God is to be communicated to God's people. Amen. Well, Brother John, you have a song for us this evening. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the word of God this evening. Thankful, Father, for the challenges, as Brother Daniel has shared with us this evening, from your word, concerning your word, and the teaching, the declaration of the message of the word of God. And Father, we do beg you in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm absolutely confident and assured that that man that you would have to stand behind this desk is fully in view of your eye. So I pray in that name above every name that you would put this church family and that man together, that they can go forward for the glory of God right here on the top of this hill, declaring the scriptures, declaring your word and carrying it to a lost and dying world. Father, again, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name for what you've given to us this evening. For it is in that lovely name of our Savior we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
Amen. The Lord speak to our hearts this evening. Amen.
I hear the same say, my strength be strong. Now we just walk away, I need thy only Lord. Jesus, great and high, all in my world.
Day. We rejoice with the one that was baptized this morning. I hope she doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but she's the newest Baptist in Metropolitan Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. It's good. Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Showers of Blessing.
Shine.